Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello, welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
No,
with
no, you
me,
can do
Reece
that.
And Jesse.
You can do that better than
He's
that.
A man with long hair, and he is my friend.
Can you do that, but sing it, like, rap it?
I know
you're incapable of, yeah, okay. No. Can you say it more enthusiastic?
No.
Okay. Can you say it less enthusiastic?
Probably.
Let's try that.
Hello. It's Reece, I'm with Jesse. Welcome to our show, he's my friend. How's that?
That was good.
I want to get into the content on this one.
Just right away.
This topic has been very prominent in people's lives and on the news, and we haven't addressed it at all.
We should welcome people to the show first.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
I sang it. I did it already.
Did you sing it?
Yeah.
You just said welcome to the show. Oh, maybe you did.
I need to be serious for a moment. So this issue is...
This issue is all about ASMR.
There we go. You're going to feel bad when I start talking about the topic after your ASMR.
Oh, God. Well, I had to get it out before. But this is going to be a depressing fucking episode.
No, it's not.
You lie, how much you love them.
It's
on our comedy show.
So we haven't talked about or addressed the undocumented and marked graves that were found in residential schools. Everyone in their right mind has been thinking about it and reflecting on it. I don't think it's our place to tell that story because it's an emergent story and there are people in that community and who've had those experiences who can better tell it. And we're a comedy show.
Right.
And I don't want us to... I know you don't, but to talk, navigate in a lighthearted way around a topic that is not lighthearted in any way.
Right. Now, that wouldn't feel ingenuous. Ingenuous?
But
feel disingenuous?
I mean, the one thing we can do... And the one thing we can do in our style is make fun of the...
I like making fun of things.
The idiots who try and deny all of that stuff happened. I think that's pretty fair.
I'm down.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'll start at the top. So first of all as well, if you don't believe that what's happened is awful, then you should probably turn this off because you won't enjoy us making fun of the people you probably agree with. So... in that sense. Anyway, so I'm going to start with this guy. He's a priest.
Oh, God.
His name's Real Forrest.
Real Forrest.
I'm pronouncing it wrong. I think it's an Irish name. R-H-E-A-L. Real. Reverend Real Forrest of the St. Emile Catholic Church.
Sounds like a rapper's name. Real Forrest.
Real Forrest. Real Forrest Gump. Catholic Church in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And this is an article from the Washington Post. His sermon made the Washington Post. So, Canadian priest accuses Indigenous victims of fabricating school abuse. Kind of hard if you're poor not to lie. That was his quote.
What?
It's kind of hard if you're poor not to lie.
It's kind of hard if you're poor.
So he used
not to lie.
So he used
What does that even mean?
If you're
poor, you have to lie.
Yeah, apparently.
Or you're going to lie. It's
somehow
inevitable?
Income is somehow an indicator of honesty.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I know plenty of rich people who lie. To themselves,
most
mainly.
Of them, yeah.
he said, fake news.
Money solves my problems.
Basically called the psychological, physical, and sexual abuse fake news, which is anyone who uses that phrase. So he's already, he's a wrong'un.
Wrong'un?
Yeah. So he asserted that Indigenous children enjoyed being at residential schools and survivors of abuse lied to get settlement money from the Canadian government of $3 billion across 27,000 victims.
Jesus Christ.
They wanted extra money for that money, from that money that was given to them. They had to lie sometimes, lie that they were abused. And oop, another 50,000, Forrest said during a video
recording. Did he actually say it like that?
That's how it reads. That's what he said during a video recorded sermon that was removed from Facebook. What a lovely priest.
Why was it? So, hold on, did Facebook remove it?
I think either he did or Facebook. I don't think he gives a shit, though, by the sense of it. I imagine it was taken down. But anyway, it was leaked to other people. So basically he thinks that it's all made up because, and I guess he's trying to defend the Catholic Church, which is a very hard position to maintain.
Like, honest God. They don't have a stellar reputation, let's face it.
Yeah. But, they did invent a car you can, a bulletproof car.
What? Oh, the Pope mobile.
The Pope tank.
Is it a tank? Does it have like a gun at the front?
You know.
Like a swivel gun? To take out atheists? That would be amazing.
The Pope tank. So we've talked about Conservative Senator Lynn Bayak before. She's retired now. This is from April 2017. This was in the Globe and Mail.
Who was she again?
She was a senator, conservative senator.
When did we talk about her?
I can't remember what it was, but I said we'd do an episode on it because she's a bit of a character.
You said we would, but we never did.
We will at some point.
We will at some point. She's referenced her as a character we've already talked about.
In an episode.
Where we said that we were going to talk about someone. That was the reference.
And then I forgot. But it doesn't mean we can't do it. So she...
What was her name again?
Senator Lynn Bayak.
Senator what?
Lynn Bayak.
Bayak. Senator Lynn Bayak. You remember her, Jesse. I've referenced her before. And by reference, I mean that sometime in the past, I have mentioned that we will talk about her at some point in the future. That was the reference that you're talking about.
Yep. And then we forgot. So it's fine. Say we. Me. It's on me. So she was on the Senate Committee for Aboriginal Peoples, and she got kicked off for what she said. And she claimed it was an attack on free speech. So she said, political correctness is stifling opinion and thoughtful conversation. But it wasn't thoughtful conversation. She was basically just saying that she didn't think that she didn't think that residential schools were all that bad. That was her position. And she was on that. She was on like a very senior committee.
I mean, the whole idea of these residential schools was to conform, right? Like to yank them away from their families and to conform them to like, this is just horrible in nature. Yeah.
And she also claims the majority of Canadians agree with what I say. I can't prove it, but I know psychically. I added that.
Damn it.
She said there's a silent majority of Canadians. And when people say silent majority, what they mean is I have no evidence that everyone agrees with me. I've just convinced myself that I'm right.
I have no evidence, nor can you prove me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Go prove me wrong. They're silent. They don't want to talk to you. You could try and you would never prove because they don't want to know. And she said that there were good deeds and other positive elements that emerged from the residential school. So she was kicked off and she said, too often on a broad range of issues, a vocal minority cries foul and offence whenever a point of view is raised that does not align with their own. And Indigenous Affairs critic Romeo Saganash, who was a residential school survivor, basically said, free speech does not apply to people that celebrate genocide. Which I think is true.
Hmm. The whole free speech thing that like has been going on for a long time. Well, pretty much since Trump got into office and then left. I mean, there's a counter argument towards all the free speech yellers out there. Yellers? A free speech yeller? Which is basically like, you know, yes, you can say whatever you want, but that doesn't mean there won't be consequences. Yeah, not what free speech means. It doesn't mean you can say whatever you want without your job.
You can lose your job.
You can lose friends. You can lose family. Twitter
can decide to kick you off.
Totally.
Because they're a private company.
Yeah, they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But also as well, like
that's not free speech. Free speech is like you don't get to go to prison for saying something. That's free speech. But that doesn't mean it's free of consequences.
And also, when your free speech makes other people fearful and feel less free, that's when you're kind of not considering the fact you're talking about your free speech.
Consequences.
What about other people's freedom to not live in fear because someone is saying, I want that group of people dead. I want that group of people to be kicked out of this country. When they say things like that, those people in that community are living in fear of of those kind of people. So they're not free because they live in fear in their own community. So freedom of speech is so complicated. But when you're
getting really deep here, Reese.
When your freedom of speech,
we're digging down a rabbit hole here,
when
man.
Your freedom of speech makes other people less free, then your whole love of freedom is completely compromised, I believe.
A little backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. A little backwards.
Just a little bit.
So anyway, Jason Kenney, he doesn't just hate Bigfoot.
Oh, yay, Jason Kenney. That was that was one of my favorite episodes ever.
So So when a reporter asked Kenny whether Calgary, Alberta, schools named after figures like Johnny McDonald should change their names, Kenny defended McDonald's imperfect legacy. So Johnny McDonald, we've covered in our first ever episode, his drunken adventures.
I think we should continue.
There are more drunk adventures to come, I'm sure, which I forgot about. So he basically, played a part in setting up the residential school that was, the idea was to forcibly assimilate children and First Nations children. So his quote was, and this is Johnny McDonald, not Jason Kenney, Indian children, sorry for using that word, this is a quote from historical person.
You're cancelled.
Yeah, should be withdrawn as much as possible from the parental influence, and the only way that would be put to them in central, the only way to do that would be to put them in central training industrial schools where they will acquire the habits and modes of thought of white men.
That Jesus.
Johnny McDonald, really? Yeah.
Wow.
So he basically, you know, that was his intention when they set the schools up. So anyone who says it was about education, you go, no, it wasn't about that. The guy who helped set them up said that at the start.
Yeah.
Kenny doesn't care about that. So he pointed out that he introduced a bill to recognize a Sir Johnny McDonald Day. Hold on, sorry.
Someone asked him if they should remove the name of Sir Johnny McDonald from the schools, and his response was to make a Sir Johnny McDonald Day?
Yeah.
That was his response.
Yeah, that was part of his response.
Fuck you, we're not removing the name of the school. In fact,
there should be a Johnny McDonald Day.
There's a whole fucking day. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And he said, no McDonald, no Canada. Without him, the country would not exist.
Now, that's true.
An analogy that I would use, though, is that Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, great film. Mm. I always bring up Indiana Jones.
I know, it's great.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, they couldn't have made that film without the Nazis being the bad guys. It wouldn't have been as good a film without them. So does that justify the fact that the Nazis should have been allowed to exist and Hitler be in charge and do all the bad stuff they did just so Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade could be a film I could enjoy?
Let me just pause this for a second.
It's a twisted logic.
I just want to make sure I'm getting this correctly. So if I had like a big red button that affected time and space, and you told me, Jesse, if you press that button, Hitler would not have existed, World War II would not have happened, but the antagonist in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade would not be as good as you remember it. Would I push that button?
No, but that's my point. Is if you really... Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is a great film.
That is your point. That is the point you're trying to make.
That is an analogy to Kenny's thought process. Because he's saying Canada wouldn't exist without Johnny McDonald. It's like, yeah, lots of things wouldn't have existed without things happening. It's called time. It's called history. Lots of things happen that lead to other things happening. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yes, Johnny McDonald helped set the country up, but he also carved a big chunk of people's lives up as well in terms of Indigenous people.
I didn't know that about him. I'd like to do another episode on him.
We should do another episode on him because it is obviously quite a torturous kind of thing for people to go, Johnny McDonald was widely celebrated quite openly, for decades, and now people are going, maybe we should have another look at this. But that's
it's kind of like the, when you find an artist that you really like a filmmaker or a musician, and it turns out that they're a real shithead and have done royally shitty things, can you still enjoy their music? Like, can I be a patriot of Canada knowing Sir Johnny McDonald made Canada happen because knowing that he's the shithead that he was at the time? Like,
but I think
and that's the artist formerly known as Sir Johnny McDonald.
Reconciliation comes from the fact that me as a European, you as a someone who's descended from Europeans in Canada, it wasn't your fault that he did that, but not recognizing that those things happened to you,
like, is just ignoring them.
You can't ignore them. Accepting that it happened and the history was history, but you know, if everyone acknowledges and agrees on a set of facts and then goes, right, well, how can we improve things moving forward? The problem is these people basically want to deny it, and they want to cling on to like an outdated notion of history just because they don't want to accept the fact that in their head everything was perfect. What are you talking about? Hey Jesse, do you know what time it is?
What time is it, Reese?
Ad time.
Yay. No, that's
back after these important things.
Ads.
Hey, Steve. Griffin here.
And we want to tell you about our show.
It's called Killed to Death, and every week we solve
a made-up
murder.
It's all improv, with a ton of great comedy guests, like Sean Cullen,
Mark Little,
Sarah Hennessy,
Becky Johnson,
Chris Locke,
a polite no from one of the members of legendary Canadian comedy group Kids in the Hall.
Sometimes you can hear the guys who live above us talking through the ceiling.
Nicole Passmore, and many more.
Check it out on the Sonar Network, where you can find this show, or search Killed to Death wherever you get your podcasts.
Killed to Death. It's usually less than an hour.
We're going back to back. Hello and welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks
Basketball Podcast.
I'm your host, Freddie Rivas, and who in the hell are you, sir?
Your producer, Matt Duncan.
We are a fan podcast. We talk about Raptors, NBA, but we're pretty freaking insightful, TBH.
Huge. Yeah.
Even if I don't have access to the bowels of the ACC, I still got a version of the scoop, okay? Yeah.
A season seat holder's bird's eye.
If people want to listen to this podcast, where are they going to find us?
Oh, you can rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Listen, anywhere you get your podcasts, or you can listen at thesonarnetwork.com.
Johnny McDonald, he could drink everyone under the table. He could run 100 meters in 8 seconds.
Is that true?
No. I'm just saying, you know, people like to make stuff up, you know, it's... People like to kind of like have a role model and then really kind of build it up and you know, they say like never to meet your hero. I bet if Jason Kenney met Johnny McDonald with a time machine, he'd be like, Johnny McDonald would just get smashed the shit out of him because he was drunk in a bar fight.
It'd be kind of like, I don't know, I'd go time traveling and then immediately getting shit faced sounds like a time.
No, what I mean is Johnny McDonald would probably just batter him and just like, vomit all over his face.
Right.
I don't know. But
yeah, never meet your heroes. Never rewatch The Flight of the Navigator.
No.
That was a mistake. That was one of my favorite childhood movies. And then I watched it as an adult. My ex at the time, she wasn't my ex, but we watched it together and I was hyping it up so much. And then we watched it. And by the end, I was apologizing to her because it was so bad.
Flight of the Navigator ruin your relationship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's good to blame. It's always good to blame those things.
We broke up immediately afterwards.
The more shocking thing, though, is Jason Kenney refused to fire a speechwriter who referred to residential schools as a bogus genocide story. So he doesn't mind surrounding himself by people who say terrible things. So, the writing's on the wall there.
Right.
Read between the lines, or you just read the lines.
Just read the lines. Yeah.
Aaron O'Toole, current leader of the Conservatives, is not immune to this kind of thought as well.
Oh, my God. Well, that's not surprising.
So this is an article that was in a newspaper that I can't remember.
I like Aaron O'Toole. The more I hear about him, the more entertained I become. It's like Canada's clown, honestly. We all know he's not going to get elected, but we sure like to see him try, honestly.
If he gets elected, I'd like to see him shake hands with Joe Biden with his foot stuck in a bucket. That'd be quite good. Anyway,
right?
Yeah. So Aaron O'Toole walks back claim that residential schools were designed to provide education. So this is a video that was posted to a university conservative club Facebook page. So during lockdown, he was talking to young conservatives. So he's been under pressure to retract his statement about residential schools ever since Press Progress, a publication of the Broadbent Institute and Global News, first reported the contents of a Zoom call O'Toole held with the Toronto University Campus Conservative Club earlier this year. In that call, O'Toole addressed what he described as the woke campaign to rename Ryerson University because of the role the school's namesake played in creating the residential school system.
Ryerson,
what did I say?
You said Ryerson.
I said Ryerson. Yeah,
that's a fairly prestigious school. I didn't realize they had. So what was their connection?
So this is O'Toole's quote from what he said. When Egerton Ryerson was called in by Hector Levine and people, it was meant to try and provide education, he told students in the call. It became a horrible program that really harmed people, and we have to learn from that, and I wear orange, but we're not helping anyone by misrepresenting the past. So Egerton Ryerson was an educator and Methodist minister who was credited with founding the public education school system in Ontario. He also played a key role in the creation of the residential school system. So basically, he was the architect of the whole thing. And they're saying we should change the university name because he set everything up with MacDonald. And yeah, so he was fighting to basically keep the name, whereas a lot of people, I think they are renaming it.
Are they really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they're renaming it to the Adolf Hitler University. No, the Hermann Göring Institute for Learning.
Who's Hermann Göring?
Hermann Göring.
Hermann Göring Institute for Learning?
Come on down to the Hermann Göring Institute for Learning.
Who's Hermann Göring?
Hermann Göring.
Who's, I don't know.
He was like Göring. A senior Nazi. He was a World War One fighter pilot ace who became
a Nazi.
Yeah, he was like he was their poster boy. He was like a handsome poster boy.
Hermann Göring.
Hermann Göring.
Hermann Göring's Institute for Learning.
Oh god. Anyway, so I think we navigated that topic because it's an important topic and everyone needs to be thinking about it. But by talking about the dickheads who are trying to apologize for that system.
We've done our job.
We'll do what we're good at, making fun of dickheads. So if you're a dickhead, let us know.
Or don't do that. Don't do that.
Call to action, Jesse.
Call to action. So our contest worked out really well, except for how long it took. We had a contest a number of months ago where we asked for people to write the funniest reviews on Apple Podcasts that they could think of. And we got bombarded with fantastic reviews. It was amazing. And instead of sending a t-shirt out to the funniest, we decided to send a t-shirt out to all of them. And it worked out really well, except that it took about 5 months for Reese to send the t-shirts.
I was trying to get quotes on a good deal for t-shirts.
How'd that work out for you?
And then I got busy. Well, yeah. It worked out fine. Everyone had t-shirts. So
that's true. You did send them out.
Yeah. So everyone, if you would like to...
Oh, but here, if you are one of the people who... we sent a t-shirt out to, we would love to see you in one of those t-shirts. Please email us at canadianpoliticsisboring@gmail.com with a photo of you in your t-shirt, or just tweet or Instagram us with it. We'd love to see it. I think
Jesse
that'd be
keeps
amazing.
Them in his collection.
I do, and I look at them every night. No, but I was going to say, we're thinking about...
If you ever need an incentive not to take a photo...
So we're not doing another contest, but we are asking for more reviews. Send us a review of this time for nothing.
If you really enjoyed the spy season, which you put a lot of work into, and we bombarded you with content creators, then give us some nice reviews to say thank you. It's not it's not money, but it'll do.
The funniest reviews we might read on the show,
maybe
I might.
We should. Yeah, we do tend to read our reviews because we are quite self-indulgent.
If you feel like giving back to us, that's how you can do it. Honestly, no, it helps. It boosts us in the ratings. It does help us,
and it's just nice for us. It's just nice to know that people care and they're listening.
It's nice to know you give a shit.
Yeah. If you give a shit, let us know. And if you're a dickhead, and give us a review. So
we're going to get a lot of reviews. 5 stars. I give a shit.
Cool. I've been Reese.
And I have been Jesse.
And this has been Canadian Politics. Well, that was a good sign off.
That was good. And we've never professional done, or
it was.
Something.
Look at that. 118 episodes in and we did it.
Was it? Because it was 110 last episode.
No, and those 116 posted pieces of content. Somewhere like that. Anyway, okay. Over 100 episodes in and we finally got the end of that. So ear holes, etc.
Oh, I got you to say ear holes.
Just I did as, say ear holes, yeah.
Just as the word, but that's fine. I'll take
holes.
Whatever steps I
said that too.
Let's not do that. Okay.
Cool. Well, we're off now.
Okay. Bye, Jason Kenny. We love you.
And Bigfoot. Just forgive Big. I know, Jason, this is for you. I know that you hate Bigfoot because Bigfoot said nasty things about oil. Just give Bigfoot a chance. Forgive him. Just walk into the woods one night, take all your clothes off in the moonlight.
And howl.
And just howl. And wait for
He'll come and find you.
He'll come and find you. Yep. And he'll give you a big Bigfoot hug.
Yep.
You'll make up.
All will be forgiven.
Yeah. and you'll just pet each other for a while, then you just go home, drive home in your truck.
It's getting dirty, Reese.
An erotic novel about Jason Kenney having sexual liaisons with a Bigfoot.
I'm going to go home and write this.
I'm going to run to Tim Hortons and write this on my laptop.
If any one of our listeners are fanfic writers,
yes,
you know what to do.
Bigfoot, Jason Kenney, sex fanfiction.
Oh my God. I would read the fucking
There's a whole genre waiting to be created.
I would narrate that. Honest God, somebody out there write it, send it to us. I'll narrate it and I'll put it out as a special bonus episode. I will. I swear to God, with music and sound effects, of everything. Do it.
As Bigfoot carried Jason like a baby over the rocks. That's a good start point.
To his love nest.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. So if you're willing to write erotic fiction about Jason Kenney Bigfoot, email it to us, CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com. Jesse will...
CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com.
It is, yeah. I forgot about the rest. I gave you a web address for an email. Jesse will narrate it, and I will do all the audio design. And I look forward to doing the Foley sound effects.
My only request is that there be sheep involved, non-sexually, that there be a race car, that there be a lute and a big feast with all of Jason's friends who kind of secretly hate him.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my contribution to the story.
Yes. Okay, cool. Great. So, bye.
Bye.